Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, the scripture reading for this morning hour can be found in the prophecy of Isaiah, the 9th chapter, verses 1 through 7. Isaiah 9. Verses 1 through 7. Let us first sing from Psalter 217, stanzas 1 through 4. Remember not, O God, the sins of long ago. In tender mercy visit us, distressed and humbled low. 1 through 4 of Psalter 217.
Congregation, before we read God's word, let us first read the Ten Commandments according to Exodus 20. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep mine commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. We repeat Isaiah chapter 9, 1 through 7. Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, that they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation, and not increased the joy before thee according to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden, and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a child is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth even forever. The seal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. Thus for the reading of God's word, let us now also read together the form for the administration of baptism. The principal parts of the doctrine of holy baptism are these three. First, that we with our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are children of wrath, insomuch that we cannot enter into the kingdom of God except we are born again. This, the dipping in or sprinkling with water, teaches us, whereby the impurity of our souls is signified, and we admonished to loathe and humble ourselves before God, and seek for our purification and salvation without ourselves. Secondly, holy baptism witnesses and sealeth unto us the washing away of our sins through Jesus Christ. Therefore we are baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. For when we are baptized in the name of the Father, God the Father witnesses and sealeth unto us that he doth make an eternal covenant of grace with us, and adopt us for his children and heirs, and therefore will provide us with every good thing, and avert all evil or turn it to our profit. And when we are baptized in the name of the Son sealeth unto us that he doth wash us in his blood from all our sins, incorporating us into the fellowship of his death and resurrection, so that we are freed from all our sins and accounted righteous before God. In like manner, when we are baptized in the name of the Holy Ghost assures us by this holy sacrament that he will dwell in us and sanctify us to be members of Christ, applying unto us that which we have in Christ, namely, the washing away of our sins and the daily renewing of our lives, till we shall be finally be presented without spot or wrinkle among the assembly of the elect in life eternal. Thirdly, whereas in all covenants there are contained two parts, therefore are we by God through baptism admonished of and obliged unto new obedience, namely, that we cleave to this one God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that we trust in him and love him with all our hearts, with all our souls, with all our mind, and with all our strength, that we forsake the world, crucify our old nature, and walk in a new and holy life. And if we sometimes through weakness fall into sin, we must not therefore despair of God's mercy, nor continue in sin, since baptism is a seal and undoubted testimony that we have an eternal covenant of grace with God. And although our young children do not understand these things, we may not therefore exclude them from baptism, for as they are without their knowledge partakers of the condemnation in Adam, so are they again received unto grace in Christ, as God speaketh unto Abraham, the father of all the faithful, and therefore unto us and our children, saying, I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee, in their generations for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. Genesis 17, verse 7. This also the apostle Peter testifieth with these words, for the promises unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Acts 2, verse 39. Therefore God formally commanded them to be circumcised, which was a seal of the covenant and of the righteousness of faith. Therefore Christ also embraced them, laid his hands upon them and blessed them. Mark 10. Since then baptism is come in the place of circumcision, therefore infants are to be baptized as heirs of the kingdom of God and of his covenant, and parents are in duty bound further to instruct their children herein when they shall arrive to the years of discretion. Thus far.
That therefore this holy ordinance of God may be administered to his glory, to our comfort, and to the edification of his church, let us call upon his holy name. O Almighty and Eternal God, thou who hast, according to thy severe judgment, punished the unbelieving and unrepentant world with the flood, and hast, according to thy great mercy, saved and protected believing Noah and his family, and thou who hast drowned the obstinate Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, and hast led thy people Israel through the midst of the sea upon dry ground by which baptism was signified, we beseech thee that thou wilt be pleased of thine infinite mercy graciously to look upon this child and incorporate her by thy Holy Spirit into thy Son Jesus Christ, that she may be buried with him into his death and be raised with him in newness of life, and that she may daily follow him, joyfully bearing her cross, and cleave unto him in true faith, firm hope, and ardent love, and that she may with a comfortable sense of thy favor leave this life, which is nothing but a continual death, and at the last day may appear without terror before the judgment seat of Christ, thy Son, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who with thee and the Holy Ghost, one only God, lives and reigns forever. Amen. While the child is brought in, let us sing from Psalter 215, in the third stanza. We will not from their children hide Jehovah's worthy praise, but tell the greatness of his strength, his wondrous works and ways. The third stanza of Psalter 215. I now ask the parents to arise and to answer the following questions. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have heard that baptism is an ordinance of God to seal unto us and to our seed his covenant. Therefore, it must be used for that end and not out of custom or superstition. That it may then be manifest that you are thus minded, you are to answer sincerely to the following questions. First, whether you acknowledge that although our children are conceived and born in sin, and therefore are subject to all miseries, yea, to condemnation itself, yet that they are sanctified in Christ, and therefore, as members of his church, ought to be baptized. Secondly, whether you acknowledge the doctrine which is contained in the Old and New Testaments and in the articles of the Christian faith and which is taught here in this Christian church to be the true and perfect doctrine of salvation. Thirdly, whether you promise and intend to see this child when come to the years of discretion whereof you are parents, instructed and brought up in the aforesaid doctrine, or cause help or cause her to be instructed therein to the utmost of your power. What is your answer, Mr. and Mrs. William Arnoldusen? Dear parents, to you has been given a child. And when that child was given to you, then there was a very great gladness in your hearts and in the hearts of your parents and grandparents, your families. We have heard read out of God's word in this hour, unto us a child is born. And then we would like to ask you in this moment a question that is a little bit of house visitation in this moment, that you have not to give an answer to us, but to give an answer to the Lord. The gladness that you have experienced in the birth of your child, is that now the same when you may hear of the birth of this child that is unto us a child is born? Is there also gladness then in your heart concerning this child? Because if this child had never been born, then also Morgan would never be baptized. Why? Because she has then no sin? No. But because there is then no washing. No washing. This child that must die for your child. Mary and Joseph, they also stood just as you here today, and they brought that child into the temple of the Lord, have been circumcised on the eighth day, and then they came into the temple after the days of her purification were ended. And there they came to present their child unto the Lord. And then we see a Simeon, and he takes that child up in his arms, and he blesses God, and he blesses also those parents. But then he spoke to that mother about the future, what was going to happen in the way of prophecy. And he said to Mary, a sword that is going to go through your heart also. Sword, because of that child. And so we see her 33 years later, and she is standing at that cross. And there she has to see him smitten. She does not understand it, but she had to give that child. She could not bring him up for her own carnal desires. No, she had to bring up that child for a higher purpose. That was for the Lord. For the Lord himself and for his church, even when he was young. And then he said, "Wished ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then she had to give that child to the service of the Lord. And now if it will be well, then also you must bring up your child, not for the service of the world, not for the pleasures of the world, not for the fashions of the world, not for the riches of the world, but for a higher purpose. And that is for the Lord himself, that it may be well with your child. In a few moments, and then it will be the blood of this child, for unto us a child is born. The blood of this child that will be placed upon the head of your child. And we hope, may it be, that this may break your heart. As parents, the blood of that child that had to be shed. And that blood that is now placed on the forehead of my child. Oh, then you will love not only your child, but then you will love this child. And you will hate sin and the world that will lose all its value. May the Lord bless and remember you. Congregation, we ask you after the amen of baptism and that you arise and sing Psalter 425, Estanza 5. Morgan Jacqueline, I baptize thee in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Yeah. Congregation, we hope to remember in prayer the mourning family of Mr. Tony Vinnie, who passed away on Thursday, December 19th, at the age of 78 years. Braden Grisnick, who is in the hospital in Lethbridge, and Mrs. Joanne Olliman, who has come home from the hospital. Let us now close with thanksgiving and at the same time ask for a blessing upon this service. Almighty God and merciful Father, we thank and praise Thee that Thou hast forgiven us and our children all our sins. Through the blood of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, and received us through Thy Holy Spirit as members of Thine only begotten Son, and adopted us to be Thy children, and sealed and confirmed the same unto us by holy baptism. We beseech Thee, through the same Son of Thy love, that Thou wilt be pleased always to govern this baptized child by Thy Holy Spirit, that she may be piously and religiously educated, increase and grow up in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that she then may acknowledge Thy fatherly goodness and mercy, which Thou hast shown to her and us, and live in all righteousness under our only teacher, King and High Priest, Jesus Christ, and manfully fight against and overcome sin, the devil, and his whole dominion, to the end that she may eternally praise and magnify Thee, and Thy Son, Jesus Christ, together with the Holy Ghost, the one only true God, that Thou would strengthen these parents in that most solemn obligation and duty which is laid upon their shoulders by Thee, who has given them this gift from above, and not that they may indulge with her in all the pleasures of this world, but that they together may bow their knees before Thee, to supplicate unto Thee for the blessings most necessary for time and for eternity, that there may be a holy desire and a need born in the heart of these parents together. Wilt Thou remember also the grandparents and also the great-grandparents? Thou hast spared them also to behold their children, their grandchildren, and their great-grandchildren, to be incorporated into Thy visible church. Oh, then also as their years do increase, oh, that that may become more and more precious unto them and more necessary, but also show them the suitability of that blood for the most wicked and abominable in this world. Oh, then it becomes possible for those who have sinned everything away. Oh, that it may be in this day that there may be gladness also in the midst of the congregation, when here and there there still may be a remnant in the day in which we live, that are in themselves unworthy, but also unable, and that in this morning hour may behold something of the might and of the power of the God of heaven and of earth. Oh, that Thou may so look upon Thy church, that Thou may feed and that Thou may instruct her, who is both hungry but also so ignorant, walking so often in darkness. But Thou wilt, Thou art able to give them light. Lord, that Thou would so shine upon Thy word also in this day. Wilt Thou remember all those that are in need? Be with those that mourn. Thou knowest all, each and every one, also relatives in our midst. O sanctify this way, because we are so dumb, blind, and ignorant by nature, and our families and friends can fall all about us, and it will never happen to me. Oh, we are so unbelieving. Lord, then it is such a different thing for us to look upon death or for death to stare us in the face. Oh, then we need to be born again, and thou alone can bring it into our hearts together, that thou would strengthen and help all those that mourn, and that thou would bless and sanctify this way. Remember the boy that is in the hospital. Lord, thou knowest he is young, but thou knowest the affliction that he suffers in his body, that thou may help him in that place where he is, to give the doctors wisdom and to give help unto all that come to his aid, that thou would bless the medications that are used for his recovery, that thou may open his eyes in the days of his boyhood. Oh, that he may be given to see when he is lying upon that hospital bed in this day, that he also one day has to die. Oh, give him then a yearning, a cry and a need in his heart for that child that was born in that manger of Bethlehem. Remember her that may come home from the hospital. Thou hast thus far spared her life. Give her an acknowledging heart. Bless the medications that are used. And could it please thee to strengthen her further, to spare her yet further? But could it please thee also to give her to speak of the wondrous ways of the Lord, that she may experience within. Oh, that thou may give it by renewal, and that thou may open her mouth to the generation that is following. Lord, that thou may look upon us all together. Be with those that have no children, and for whom these things are a burden. Oh, that thou may remember those who have lost children. Lord, that thou may supply for all the needy and all the difficulties and trials that there are of body and of mind and of all the trials that there are in this world, but that thou may also give an affliction in our midst. Lord, then not a bodily affliction, but wilt thou give an affliction of the soul? Because if we go to our long home and have never had an affliction in our soul, and then we shall enter that bottomless pit, wherein hope shall never come. Oh, could it please thee then, Lord, to make us all sick? Oh, show unto us what our sickness is. Show unto us what our misery is. Show unto us what our death state is, that the need may be borne, that that need may increase, and that the impossibility from our side may be experienced in our life, and that the need for this thine only begotten Son, whom thou hast given unto us, oh, that he also may be made so necessary for our hearts to help us to bring thy word in this morning hour. Oh, give that there may be a little freedom and liberty. Give a little strength also for the weakness of our body. Give clarity in our mind. Take away and drive away the buyers and the sellers. Give us a few moments together, that we may feel that we may be in thy presence, and that thy face may shine upon us, though that it is so undeserved. We ask it in the forgiveness of all our sin, for Jesus' sake. Amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. From the depths my prayer ascendeth. unto God on high. Hear, O Lord, my supplication and my cry. Psalter 365, stanzas 1 through 4. Congregation, the words of our text for this morning hour can be found in that portion of God's Word which was read to you, Isaiah 9, and thereof the first part of the sixth verse. Isaiah 9, verse 6a, for unto us a child is born, Unto us a son is given. So far, the words of our text. Isaiah prophesies of the birth of the Son of God. First, unto whom he is born. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Second, who is born? For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. And last, the consequence of this birth, which we read actually in the verses beforehand and especially in verse 4. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Thus Isaiah prophesies of the birth of the Son of God, first, unto whom he is born, second, who is born, and third, the consequences of his birth. For unto us, that is, congregation, a wonderful thing that such words are written in the Word of God, for unto us. And why is that such a wonderful thing? Because it is speaking about the application that is so necessary. Do you feel that necessity? That it would not be only a doctrine, that it would not be written merely in the Word of God, but that it may be applied also, and that it may be also unto me that this child is born. For unto us, who is that, this us? Well, you say that, of course, is Judah over against all of the other nations, the heathen nations, that is, to whom Isaiah is prophesying. And that Redeemer that was, of course, promised unto that Jewish nation. And yet Paul says that they are not all Israel, which are of Israel. Thus, most of that nation, as we have heard in the weeks gone by, most of that nation, they had no need for this child. And yet there was a remnant. We heard of that remnant also, that remnant in Judah, but also that remnant that was in Israel. And it was to that remnant that word of God's servant that was very precious, that they were listening, that they were longing for the word of the Lord that was coming unto them through God's servant. And we heard that he is standing there with that remnant. Behold, I and the children whom thou hast given unto me. Thus, unto us. Then it is speaking in a special way about that remnant of the Lord. That despised remnant, but Isaiah, he was not ashamed to call them brethren. Do we also belong to that remnant? Who is that remnant? Well, we have heard last week something of who they are. We heard last time that it is a people who are walking in darkness. They are a people that are dwelling in the land of the shadow of death. Thus, we heard of that people. And they are standing on the outside. because they have sinned everything away. They belong unto a nation that has left the Lord. And they are a people that are belonging unto a sinful race. And that is a race that was given so many privileges. That was that nation of Israel. And that has chosen the worship of the idols over the worship of the Lord. That did not want to return unto Jerusalem and unto the temple of the Lord. Oh, that is the race that that people are belonging unto. But now that remnant, and they are standing on the outside of it, and they are looking with longing at that promise that the Lord has given unto His people, that people of Judah. Thus we see there are those that have belonged to that Israelitish nation, and yet they were the true people of the Lord. Thus, we have seen something of who that they were. But now we read more of who they are. We can see it in verse 5. For every battle, it says, of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. Thus, what is it? What kind of people are they? It is speaking, boys and girls, about a battle. A battle. Thus, Isaiah is speaking about a people that are at war. He is speaking about a people that have enemies. Enemies. Yes, that was God's people. That was always from the beginning. When we think about Judah, then they had enemies in Syria that desired to devour them. They looked to the Assyrians, but those Assyrians, they also one day would become their enemies. When they would come against them also in Babylon, coming to take Jerusalem captive. And then it was not only enemies that are on the outside, but enemies also that are inside. There was their own brethren. They were from that visible church. It was that nation of Israel that is joining with Syria, and they are coming against the people of the Lord. Thus, it is a people that are in a battle. Then we read more. In verse 4, for thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. O congregation, then it is speaking here about a yoke. It is speaking here about a burden. The staff of his shoulder, about an oppression. What does that make you think of, boys and girls? Oh, that brings us back to that time that the children of Israel, they were in the land of Egypt. And there they were oppressed. There they had enemies, yes. But not only did they have enemies, but that enemy had power over them. They were subject to that enemy. They were actually slaves of that enemy. There they had to carry the burdens that their enemies, they are laying upon them. And then that oppressor that has a rod, that has a stick, that when they are not doing the will of that enemy, then they are beaten with that rod, the yoke of his burden. And what is special about bondage? What is special about bondage? Well, bondage, that is something that we cannot deliver ourselves from. We cannot deliver ourselves from it. No, then we are bound. Then we have no ability. And then it is the enemy that has the power and not ourselves. And that would become so again of Israel and of Judah. And when they would be taken captive into the enemy's land, and there again, They would be brought into bondage. There again, they would be brought into slavery where the enemy would have the upper hand and they would have to feel something of their helplessness under the oppression of that enemy. What does that all mean? Why is that so important for us today, boys and girls? Why would we preach about this today? Because that enemy, he is not at our doors. Is that not so? Oh, that enemy, we have to understand, is a picture. It is a picture. That enemy that is actually a personification of sin. That is sin made into a person. Thus, every time that you are reading in God's Word and singing from the Psalms of David, and then you are singing about the enemy, then you must understand that it is speaking about sin. The Jewish nation, they were looking for a deliverance from the temporal, from the natural enemies. But the Lord Jesus says, "My kingdom is not of this world." He did not come to deliver that nation of the Jews, nor the people today from the natural enemies, but from their spiritual enemies. Thus we see it also in the prophecies, how that Isaiah, he is pointing much further. And therefore it is also so applicable unto us today, because there is a church, the same today as it was then, that has an enemy. Do you have an enemy? Are you part of that church? What is the enemy of the church of God? It is a triple-headed enemy. Satan is their enemy. The world is their enemy. That enemy is in their own flesh. It is sin that is living in their own flesh that is their enemy, a triple-headed enemy. It is, congregation, a church militant. It is not a church triumphant yet. No, one day it will be a church triumphant. One day there will be no enemy that can touch them anymore. But as long as they are here upon the earth, then it is a church militant. It is for them a warfare. Someone said to me, "I cannot understand how that it is possible that David has fallen into that sin with Bathsheba." Because David, he was a child of the Lord. O congregation, then we have the wrong view of the church here below. Then we are thinking that it is here a church triumphant, when actually it is here a church militant. Look for a moment what Isaiah says, verse 5. "For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood. Congregation, the battle of the warrior, that is with confused noise, we read. That is the church militant. It is a confused noise. That battle, because there is an old man and there is a new man. Rebecca, she went to the Lord with that. The struggle that was in her womb, that was so confusing unto her. Paul says, the good I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I do. Does that not sound like confusion? Say, that is a confused man. That's what the world says. He's a confused man. But there is a people who understand him very well. Who understand him very well. Because it is also their own experience. And yet they are such a riddle unto themselves. There are people. They say that was before Paul's conversion. No. No. That is what man is of himself. And that is what man remains in and of himself even after received grace. Oh, Peter. He says, Lord, I am ready to die with thee, to go with thee into death. And then he is cursing and he is swearing, I know not the man. And then he is weeping bitterly and saying, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Oh, is that not sounding, congregation, like a confused noise? Or is it a confused noise also in your life? A confused noise also in your heart. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise. Every battle of the warrior is with garments rolled in blood. That is the way it is. You must remember that they were people that when they had a battle and they fought with hand-to-hand combat. And so when you would see that battle, what an awful, awful thing. Oh, congregation, then here there was a loss on the one side, and there is a loss on the other side. And then here again another one, and there again another one. And how was it in that battle? Then there is suspense. There is suspense. Who is now going to come out the victor in that battle? Then there is anxiety. Every battle of the warrior is with garments rolled in blood. Oh, how often is it not so in the life of that true church? Because they think they have gotten the victory over this sin or over that sin. And then soon their garments are rolling in blood again. Oh, Then they think now to have overcome, and tomorrow, oh, they are falling once again in that battle. Oh, congregation, how many times, over and over and over again, that people are not fearing that they are going to lose this battle in the end. Oh, that they shall never, never enter into that kingdom of God. Why? Because of that enemy. And that enemy, he is too strong for me. And that he has dominion over me. And I have not the power to overcome that sin in my life. Every battle of the warrior, that is with confused noise. And with garments rolled in blood. And then what does Isaiah say? He speaks about, congregation, the yoke of his burden. The yoke of his burden. Oh, how is it in the life of that people. It is not only that that enemy is coming against them, but it is actually what they experience is as a slavery. It is a bondage because they are not able to overcome that enemy. And time and time and time again, deeper and deeper than they have to learn that lesson, that they are a son of Adam, and that there is nothing good that is able to come out of this man to the honor and to the glory of God. A slavery, why? Because I cannot rid myself of sin. Because I cannot overcome this great company that is coming against me. Because of my flesh. Because my flesh that loves sin. Because my flesh that is cleaving unto sin. Then Isaiah, he's speaking about an oppression. An oppression, the rod of the oppressor. And that oppressor, he is beating that people. And he is saying unto that people, you shall never come there. And because I shall have you in the end. Oh, as I have taken down your head, as I have taken down Adam, so I will also take you down. And you are lying under that sentence of condemnation. But in the end, and then you are going to be condemned altogether. And then it will not only be a spiritual death, but it will be also a temporal death. And then you will experience that eternal death forever and forever. O congregation, every battle with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, the yoke of his burden, the staff of his shoulder, the grief of the heart, and because I do not know my sin as I ought to know it, and I do not grieve for my sin as I ought to grieve for it, and because I am not able to overcome my sin. And then how often these, they are walking in darkness and in the land of that shadow of death. Oh, we have heard it. It is darkness within. It is darkness without. And there is no light from above because of that sin. Then they have to stand on the outside of it. And then they are looking with longing that they may come yet on the inside of it, that they may receive something of that portion of the children of God. And now Isaiah, he says that people, they shall see a great light. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And in our text, and then we hear something of what that light is. Who is born? In our second thought, for unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Who is it? Oh, it is the new great king that would be born. Isaiah here is again speaking in the present for something that is to take place in the future. Because there is, congregation, no question. Because it is he that was slain already from the foundation of the world. And then Isaiah, he may bring this into the light. Or he may bring it before the eyes of that remnant. And what does he speak about? Oh, he speaks about the deliverance from that enemy. And then he speaks in a prophetic vision. And then he is looking further because we know that the promise unto Judah was that when they would go into that captivity, the Lord would bring them again out of that captivity. But then Isaiah, he is looking much further than this. Because then over them at that time was not set a king. No. Then they were under the oppression really still, even of the enemy. And that enemy ruled over them. But Isaiah, he is looking much further than this. No, not to the temporal deliverance. No, not to that which is for all that is here below. But Isaiah, he is looking and he is speaking and he is prophesying of the spiritual deliverance of the true church of God. Thus he is speaking about the deliverance from the enemy of sin, from the enemy of the world. He is speaking about the deliverance from the prince of darkness himself. Oh, that remnant of Israel, that remnant of Judah, they had no power against that enemy. And so that is now with that church. It is congregation unconquerable. An unconquerable enemy. Do you ever experience it in your life? Children, boys and girls. Then it is possible when you are still so young that you may receive a heart, a new heart from the Lord. And what will you experience then in your life? Oh, you will experience even in the days of your youth. And it will become the grief of your heart. Oh, that enemy, that he is not able to be overcome. But now Isaiah, he is prophesying. He is prophesying of that new great king. Who is he? He says, a child is born. A child is born. Oh, congregation, you say, what is now in a child? That little child. Helpless infant. Must be cared for by his mother, by his father. Must be supported. He has no strength. He has no wisdom. Just a child. Oh, then in that sense, we say that is no one that can help us. Then we despise that little child. That's the way it was in the church. He was despised in the world. He was despised even by the visible church because of his meanness. He was rejected, we read, and despised of men, coming in the form of a servant. And a servant is one in whom we despise. Unknown, unsought. Oh, how little was seen in that child. And then there was no flocking unto him. There was no desiring of him. How closed, how blinded that the eyes were when this child was born. But now Isaiah, he is speaking. And then he's speaking, especially, yes, to everyone. And we do that too, to everyone. But he is speaking especially to that remnant. And for that remnant, are they here too? And what does he say? He says, for unto us a child is born. Oh, look not then for what is great in this world. Look not then for what is high. Look not then for what is wise and what is mighty and great in the eyes of the world. Because for unto us a child is born. And yet, he says, unto us a son is given. And then he speaks not merely that he is a son of man, that he will be the son of Mary, but he says, unto us a son is given. That is, unto us is given the Son of God, the Son of God. Therefore, that king, he will have power. Therefore, that king, he will be of great, of almighty power. Do you know what he will have power over? He will have power over the enemy. There is no enemy that shall be able to conquer this king. Not Satan, not the world, and not sin. No temptation will be too great for him. No temptation will bring him to sin. Satan, he will be able to present unto him all the kingdoms of the world. What would happen to us? If Satan would say, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, what would happen to us? There we would fall. But when Satan said, I will give you all the kingdoms of the world, then Christ said, get behind me. Why? Because of his power. Of his power over the enemy, so that there was not one temptation that was able to make him sin, so that his obedience could be perfect, that he would fulfill for that church the whole law, every jot, every tittle of that law that will be by him fulfilled. Because he is the Son that is given. And now he says, unto us is born, unto us is given this child and this son. And who is that? That is that remnant that is under that yoke. That is that remnant that is under that burden, that is not able to deliver themselves from their sin. Or what does Isaiah do? He prophesies congregation of the atonement. He says, he will do it for you. He will do it for you. He will do it in your place. He will do it in your stead. Because of his strength over that enemy of sin, he is able to do it. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, who is stronger than sin, who will not be overcome by it, and who will conquer it, who will conquer it for his people. And not only will he conquer that sin, but he will take away the consequences of it, because he will pay the price for it. Thus, he will take away the death. He is able to pay that price. And he is able to make that obedience, because he is the Son. And he is also willing, because we read, unto us a child is born. Let us sing. Psalter 158, 5 through 8. That thy beloved may be saved, and from their foes set free. Help with the might of thy right hand. In mercy, answer me. 5 through 8 of 158. Our last thought, the consequence of his birth. And what is it? In short, congregation, it is the victory over sin. The victory over sin. Because it is the victory over the enemy. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to you? Does that mean something to you or nothing? The victory over sin. If that means nothing to us, then congregation, we have no interest in the birth of his son. None. Then all our celebration, then all our ceremony in this time is empty. 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 But there is a people for whom it is different. And who are they? They are lying under a burden. They are lying under a slavery. They are lying in oppression. And what do we read? The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. And now, oh, when that light may shine a little upon that sun, a little upon that child. The son who was born as a child. Then they may see also something of this unto us. When that light is shining in the revelation of his son, then there are congregation consequences. Consequences. There is something that takes place in their heart. What is one of those consequences? That is joy. Joy. Read it. In verse 3, thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. That is very difficult to explain from the Hebrew language exactly what that means. Possibly. And thou hast multiplied the nation before. The nation grew. But the true joy was not there. And now, after they come back from Babylon, of course, there will just be a remnant of people. Not like the former nation. But now the joy that is going to be much greater. They joy before thee. According to the joy in harvest, and as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. The joy as in the harvest time. What is that? That is when all the fruits of the field are brought in, and there may be something of an enjoyment of all the blessings that are given unto that people from the hand of the Lord. That they could not give unto themselves. And now read the next part. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. Who divides the spoil? That is when the war is done. When the war is done. And who divides the spoil? The victor. They divide the spoil of the enemy. What a great joy. This is congregation. Now concerning this child that shall be born, and the light that is shining unto that son which shall be given. Then it says they shall joy as they who divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. Oh, the yoke of his burden, congregation, that is broken. What is it? It is the deliverance from the bondage of sin. It is the deliverance from the slavery of sin. And where is in that day the rod of the oppressor? Where is the devil in that day when that people may be given to see by faith a little of the light that is in that child that was born in that Bethlehem's stable? Oh, where then is the oppressor? Where then is the devil that will say, I will have you at last? No, then that warfare congregation that is all done, that slavery of that bondage to sin and the threat, and that sin shall have them bound to a never-ending eternity, that rod of the oppressor that is broken. As in the day of Midian. What is that day? Oh, boys and girls, you know that day. That is the day of Gideon. And what did Gideon do? He had many, many soldiers, and he sent them all home. Only 300 left. They were not to fight. Why? Well, it was just as if Gideon, he was going to do this all by himself. This was not going to be by the strength of man. This was going to be by a miracle that was going to be from heaven. And there will not be a weapon in their hand. There will be candles, lights. There will be earthen pitchers. There will be trumpets in their hand. And the world that will say it is laughable. It is foolishness. Just like a David when he is going to fight against Goliath with a sling and some stones. But congregation, the Lord will turn over that enemy. Just like a barley cake rolling into a soldier's tent and overturning it upon the earth. Oh, that is now how that son that was born so helpless, lying there in that manger, a son of man, just like you, just like me, with our human nature, who broke the rod of the oppressor, who broke Satan, who broke sin. How? All by himself. Not with the help of people. Not with the help of his church. Because his church, they cannot conquer one sin. Not one sin. They are helpless. Today they think they have it done. And tomorrow they find out that they have a nature and that is still a son of Adam. No. He says, I have trodden the winepress alone, and of the people there was none with me. And I will tread the enemy in my anger, and I will trample them in my fury, and the blood that shall be upon my garments, and I will stain all my raiment. O congregation, it is as in the day of Midian. There shall not be one of that true church of God that is going to be standing with this king to help in the subduing of that great triple-headed enemy, Satan, sin, and this world. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder, the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise, and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. Oh, what happens to that confused noise, congregation? In that day, it ceases. Then it is no more. What happens to those garments that are rolled in blood? What happens to the anxiety? What happens to the suspense in the heart of that people? Then it is all gone. But this shall be with burning and fuel of fire. What is it? It is the burning of the weapons of the enemy. It is the burning of everything that is threatening to bring that true child of the Lord into that eternal pit. Is that the end of the strife here upon the earth? No, it is not the end of the strife here below. That is going to go all the way unto the end. But it is what that people who are walking in darkness see, and when they may see that great light, or when they may see what the Lord is doing for his children, because then they are still in the midst of the strife. But then they may see for a moment that that warfare is actually accomplished. Comfort ye my people, as saith your God. Speak ye comfortably unto Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. Oh, then she sees something. She sees something, though she is in the midst of that continuing strife day by day. Oh, that warfare is actually done. It is actually completed, because he has said, it is finished. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. We cannot do it all. Oh, I think it is 1,000 sermons, congregation. That is what we cannot express in words. Oh, a little light upon that sun. Oh, what a peace is coming in the heart of the children of the Lord, because then they see that that head of that enemy is bruised. And though that devil, he is able still to bruise the feet, the heel. Oh, still it does not depend on that people anymore. It doesn't depend on them anymore, but it is all completed in him. Then there is a rejoicing of the church triumphant. They are rejoicing in heaven. But that is not something that begins in heaven. No, that is a rejoicing congregation that begins here upon the earth by faith in the revelation of that Son of God by moments here below. Oh, that is the great blessing of faith in exercise. What does it say? They shall rejoice as they that divide the spoil. And who is dividing the spoil? That is the church triumphant. And now this people, when that light may shine, they may rejoice just as they that divide the spoil. Then the yoke of his burden is broken. And then there is liberty. When that yoke is broken, liberty from that curse, from that enemy, because he has done it for unto us. A child is born unto us. A son is given. Congregation, is he also born unto you? Is he also given unto you? Is there any need for him? Do you have an enemy to conquer? Not your enemies in this world, no. Oh, do you have sin to conquer that you cannot conquer? Do you also have a triple-headed enemy? That is the purpose of his coming to Joseph. The Lord said of Mary, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That is the people that as Isaiah, he is speaking about. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, the yoke of the burden broken. Not by themselves, but as in the day of Midian, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Amen. O Lord of heaven and of earth, open it unto thy people. For we can but stammer a few words of the preciousness, that thou hast given unto us in thy holy word, for the chiefest of the sinners, those that are not able to overcome sin. O Lord, remember them, open it unto them, and that they may see it is also unto me, and that a child is born, and unto me a son is given. And wilt thou bring us safely to our homes and places, and give us desire and ability to be together further in this day. Strengthen all that lead. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 3:19, 3, 4, and 5. In bondage of distress and grief, to God I cried and sought relief. In wondrous love he heard my plea and set my soul at liberty. 3, 4, and 5 of 319. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessings.